It's 88.5 KCSN Sky Daniels, joined by Carl Newman of the New Pornographers. Welcome, Carl.
Hey, thank you for having me.
We are excited. I got to tell you, when Brill Bruisers, the song, you know, came into our hands, the song exploded on the radio. And I mean, it was jarring how epic the song was. Did you have that feeling when you recorded the song? Did you know as you were going along, this is a big song in every sense of that word?
Well, I remember when we started demoing it, it sounds so much better than it did back then. But even when John and I were sitting in the studio demoing it, we remember thinking, wow, this is going to be good. You know, when I started laying down like the sort of back and forth vocals, like the lead vocal with the ba 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 ba, and I remember we thought this is going to be great. And the whole game was just, it's got to be big. Like when I was writing notes for the songs, like every song had like 10 notes, like all but the minutia, and all Brill Bruisers said was like, it's got to be big. And when that was, when we were mixing it, that was the whole thing. It was, forget about the subtlety of it. If a song doesn't sound big, if it doesn't just burst out of the speakers, then it's not going to work. And even from the beginning, we thought, this is song one. Like, there's no way any other
song.
And
in the past, you've even said about New Pornographers Records that you weren't sure, you know, you weren't really thinking about what's the single and all that stuff. But in this case, you kind of knew, like, wow, this got to lead this thing off.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't, with the indie rock bands, who can say what the single is? It's
right.
Not really a single-driven economy. It is for some bands, maybe. I thought, this is going to be one of the big songs on the record. I would have been confused if it wasn't.
Well, you intended the record in interviews I've read that to be a celebratory event, you know, that really be a record of celebration. And this song, if it isn't a celebratory song, I know a few others that are. I mean, I'll throw in things like All You Need Is Love by the Beatles. I mean, it has that kind of power and spirit. Clearly, as you were thinking big, you also knew that this was a song that was going to have great joy, that it was going to really just have that feeling, magic feeling.
Yeah, I think I wanted the main message of the song just to be in the feel of the song itself.
Right.
Like, it wasn't like there was anything I really felt I needed to say. It was just like I felt like everything I say in the song needs to be there to just carry the song, you know.
Well,
keep it afloat. So that's why I think that's why I started writing all those lyrics, like the sea was all lighters. It just reminded me. I started thinking about the myth of rock.
And so the idea of the Brill Building itself, and you've talked about how you were really going to concentrate on song structure on this album. And anytime you start talking about song structure, obviously that will invoke in many people the art that was those people that worked the Brill Building, who really crafted songs to meticulous detail. Did any of, as you were writing this and other songs in a record, were those heroes, you know, somehow sitting off in the corner, kind of like...
You know, all those songwriters are just, I think they're just part of my muscle memory at this point. Like, I don't think I want to write like them, but I've always admired those classic songwriters, and I think I just carry it around with me. Like Brian Wilson's not a Brill Building, of course, but... Like the Beach Boys influence, I don't in any way try to sound like them, but I just know it's inescapable. So I've just given up that sense of melody and harmony that he had. I feel like I took so much from him and others like him. So I just kind of run with it.
When you know, since the inception of the New Pornographers, you always have had. You know, that keen ear for harmony and melody. I mean, the construct of the band, obviously allows for a lot of harmonizing and melody.
Yeah, I think that's definitely what I'm good at. Like, I think, you know, different people who play music have their strengths, whether you're the guy who's good at drums or you're the amazing singer. And I think that's my place. I think I'm like melody and harmony and arrangement, stuff like that.
So let's talk about in 2014, how does one get a new pornographer's record going? I mean, both in the literal and the figurative sense, because the members are doing things and no one's living in the same city like they used to, or few are. And
it's always been the same. It's never changed. It's always been a hassle. Like it's a hard thing to do. And I always tell people the same thing. Like it's our strength and our greatest weakness that, you know, it's awesome to be in a band with Dan Behar and like Nico Case, but it's so effing hard, like to get them together sometimes just to get everybody's schedule. And
then to get everyone focused on making music. And I guess they bring the freshness every time when you walk through the studio doors, but then you got to get it hunkered down and collaborate and work.
Yeah. Actually, it was amazing. Dan, it was amazing to collaborate with Dan on this record. I felt like I worked with him, you know, a lot more on this. Like he came to Woodstock for like a week or so and we just worked on songs. So it was, and Dan's been playing like more shows with us this year than he ever has. So that's been very cool. And it's cool to see him, you know, cause he's a good friend and you know, I don't live in Vancouver anymore. Nico's the one who's much harder to like we literally had to chase her around like America. Like she would say, well, I have 2 days off in Austin, Texas. So I said, okay, John and I will fly to Austin.
Grab a studio
and we'll get a studio and see if you can like spare us a few hours to come in and knock out some vocals. And
did you hit Burlington at any point?
We went to Vermont and it was the same thing. It's like, well, I guess we'll pack up our, we packed up my entire home studio. We basically packed it up in my Honda Element and we drove it to Vermont to get Nico to sing for a few hours. And then we packed it all up and we drove back home again.
So this idea of people who are now sending music across the internet, well, you know, that works to a degree, but you literally needed to pack up the was it a Honda?
Yeah, the Element. I wish I could send files to Nico, but I think she's still a little bit of a Luddite.
She still wants to be in the room.
I'm a total Luddite as well, but no, I just don't think that's something she does. Like she doesn't have a home studio where she records her own vocals. She still likes to go to studios.
Set up the mic.
Yeah.
Make me think we're making a record as opposed to, I guess there is an isolation mm-hmm. to doing it the other way.
Yeah, but it's always been like that. Like when I think of Mass Romantic and Electric Version, it was the same thing. It was just, we had less money. Like we were, you know, we would be set up in John's apartment recording and we'd get her to come over for a few hours and sing. I'm just amazed that we're still together.
Yeah.
It's been an amazing ride. Like it's been such an odd combination of like a really great, easy part-time job and a struggle, maybe like anything in life.
Well, but you know, you have spoken about the fact that as an indie band, quote unquote, whatever that means to whoever's listening, and wanting to have a certain sense of an authentic indie sensibility, again, whatever that means mm-hmm. to the individual, you have hit that point and have been an appreciated indie band. Where not a lot of indie bands have a 10-year, 12-year sustained career and are still recognized and appreciated to the degree the new pornographers are.
I think about that sometimes, how it's a strange thing. It's frustrating sometimes to be that band that's been around for so long and realize, oh, you're competing with that hot new band. But then I think of all the hot new bands we've outlasted through the years. It's like a lot of bands have burnt past us and then sort of like dissipated away. Of course, there's also a huge amount of bands who have just passed us and stayed up there.
Yeah.
and remain huge.
Yeah.
I think it's best not to think about your place in
the station
the indie rock universe. Like if I've learned anything about the only thing worth worrying about is like, do I have enough money? Like when I start thinking about it, it's like, this is what I do for a career, and you know, I'm married and I have a kid now. So it's like, I feel like you can think about like, how critically acclaimed are we? Like, where do we sit in the indie rock lexicon? And ultimately it's just, who cares? Like, am I getting to do what I want? Or, you know, am I making a decent career?
Are you sustaining your existence?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. And I think, well, yeah, I've got that. So far, so good. And, you know, really whenever I'm worried about anything, I think, oh, I hope this middling review doesn't hurt our record sales, because that would mean I have less money. And if I have less money, then my child has less money. So that's not good.
Oh, you mean suddenly you've left the indie rock world and entered the real world?
Yes, exactly.
And sometimes those two ideas intently aren't supposed to go. You're not supposed to be worried about surviving. You're supposed to be cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Cred. You've got cred. What do you need money for?
Exactly. Isn't it cool to want to survive? I think that's sort of a cool quality for a guy to have.
Yeah. When you liked it, could you take cred to a bank teller and say, I've got this cred, I'd like to cash in now?
That was, I remember David Cross wrote a great essay about that years and years ago. Because I think people were like hassling him because he took some movie role in some cheesy movie. And he said, I went to the bank and tried to use my indie cred, but those a-holes wouldn't let me use it. It turns out they actually wanted real money. So,
well, and it's something now I have to believe, you know, and based on the early reviews that I've seen, you know, on the album, Brill Bruisers, say that five times fast.
Mm-hmm.
They've been great, and there's a lot of people celebrating it with, I don't know if renewed zeal is the word, but it sure feels like that to me.
I feel very happy about it. I mean, I really like this record. I'm going into it with a strange confidence, which is great to have, but it also, having confidence in something also makes you a little bit more fragile, because you go into it and you think, I'm so proud of this record. And if somebody goes, meh, I'm just confused. I go, what do you mean?
Is it expectations, or is it the fact that you have been fortunate enough, blessed, to have received critical acclaim throughout the years? I mean, what do you think?
I guess so. I've always said, like, feeding off critical acclaim, it's like being a drug addict. I don't, there's no good comes from it, because, like, there's never enough.
Yeah.
You know, there's
never enough.
I've seen people who, like, are the most critically acclaimed, you know, bands, and nothing is enough. Like,
well, you have to be so self-aware. You have to be so self-aware in order to stay connected to what the critical expectations of the moment are.
And I think that's why, as the years have gone by, like I said, I try to be really pragmatic about it. I think, well, I'm going to do my best, and I hope people like this, and I hope that I get to keep this job, because I really love this job, and this is what I, you know, I think I'm good at. This is what I was meant to do, and it's just keeping that going.
Now, on the record, I've already sung the praises of the title track, which was the first track that we got from radio, but now having, you know, this is an album that as a radio guy, I listen two ways. I listen as a person, as a fan, and then I listen as the radio guy.
Mm-hmm.
And the good news is both the music fan and the radio guy are pretty much in accord on, damn, there's a lot of great songs on this record. So that's the good news.
Mm-hmm.
In your mind, were there songs?
the bad news.
There is no bad news because I really
got a prayer.
Well, I actually did bring in today, if we want to, on that note, if we want to handicap, let's see, this week your record's being released, and we have Brad Paisley putting an album out. That's going to be a challenge to top him. So Brad may sell more records than the new pornographers this week.
May.
Ariana Grande has a record out. But now I think the field starts to come into play. Randy Bachman, another celebrated Canadian, is putting out a solo record. I don't know if you knew that.
This week?
This very week, yes. Oh,
I did not know that. I went to high school with his son.
Oh,
remember She's So High?
Of course I did. Ty, sure.
Tal,
right.
Yeah. We're friends from high school.
I actually did something with his dad once, you know, some reunion thing where he did a Guess Who reunion, and he and Burton Cummins were, the Guess Who reunion show was amazing, and yeah. B, the two of them, they had stories to tell all day long.
They're a great, great band.
Great band, tremendous band. All right, so we've handicapped the field. I think I'm going to set my own personal expectations for a top five debut.
I don't think our record's going to be top five.
I'm going to continue to keep my faith alive in the new pornographers and the strength of this record. And if it's not top five, I want it to at least be top 10. Will you go with top 10?
I don't know. I would if we made it to the top 20, I think I would be very happy. Together, our last one made it up to 18, I believe. But I don't know. The world's changed. That was 2010. And this is 2014.
Boy, hasn't it changed in that short time?
And I don't know where our fan base has gone. I don't know if they're all on Spotify, or I don't know if they're
record
buyers. I don't know if they're buying records. So maybe it could be we've got that in our pocket, that our fans or people that have been with us, they're from an era when people bought records and they're going to continue to buy them. I don't know. I'm hoping it does well. But I try to steel myself from caring about that. It's like whatever people, however many people buy the record, whatever people say about the record, I have to remember, that absolutely does not change the record.
Record's made.
Yeah, and sometimes it does. Sometimes if somebody puts down your record, you go, oh, maybe my record isn't very good. And you realize, no, that's just,
opinion.
It's just your head, messing with you. You're letting somebody else's opinion affect what you think. And you know, sometimes it's good. Sometimes you're happy because people like it. Sometimes you're sad because people don't like it. But yeah, you just have to put blinders on and go well, my job is done. And now we have to go and play our songs as well as we can.
Well, what about that aspect of it? How, you know, I talked about getting the new pornographers together. Well, actually, there's two parts to that new pornographers together. There's probably a different dynamic in the group. It's probably evolved since the earliest days. And so the idea of what is a new pornographer's record, I'm sure everybody has more experience and a little bit more interest in what it is. You've always shied away from wanting to be dubbed quote unquote the leader of the band, but
I'm no leader.
You do have to pull it together and at some point say this is a collective new pornographer's record. Coming out of this record, which songs do you feel the band and yourself were or was every one of them treated with the same respect and excitement?
I don't know. You know, this is a weird record. I think I've been telling people I think it's our best record. And, of course, that's my opinion that you can throw in with everybody else's opinions. But I look at all the songs on it and I think, yeah, they all came off the way I wanted them to. And the songs that didn't have what I thought was something great didn't make the record. I cut them all off. So, I mean, I look at our album and I think, I really want to play all these songs live. I'm really looking forward to it. And I felt like I haven't felt that on other records. Like, Mastermantic was the last record where we could play every song on the album. Like, every album since then, there's been two or three where we go, how are we going to play this? And I look
from an arrangement standpoint,
or just this it's too weird. It'll drag down the show if we play this. It's a nice studio track, but yeah, it's the arrangement and just like, where does this fit in? And we just drop it. We don't play it. But I look at Brill Bruisers and I think, yeah, I think any song on this album we could throw in our set and it's going to be cool. And the songs we've played live so far, I feel like they fit very seamlessly into our show. Sometimes the new songs can be weird because people are looking around going, I don't know this song. What is this? And we've been playing Brill Bruisers and War on the East Coast and Dance All Domine and Fantasy Fools. And they seem to be going really well. So I'm psyched to play some more of them. I'm really psyched to play Backstairs. I think that's going to be a cool song to kick out.
You do realize that even as you were just naturally and innocently reviewing the titles on the back of the record, you rattled off five songs that got you excited. That makes for a good record, I would think.
Did I seem excited?
You seemed excited. I could see there was a twinkle in your eye. You were a proud father of all those children. You were definitely expressing that.
Yeah, I feel good about it. I mean, I don't know what else you're supposed to say when you put out a record.
Yeah?
Except, yeah, I like this one. I really like it.
Well, listen, at this point, you do have, by your own assessment, your own self-assessment, you have to have a certain sense of, okay, I have my personal expectations. As an artist, I believe we've created this, but I've been around long enough to know, all right, how's it going to play in the universe? So you have a pragmatic perspective.
Yeah, and I do notice, and now that people are like writing about this record and it's out there in the world, I realize that people do have their own like narrative. Like everybody has their own narrative for the band that is not necessarily a true narrative. And I realize like there's nothing you can do about it. Like I think we're a confusing band because there's different people singing. So I read so many things about the record where nobody knows who sings what.
Right.
Like somebody thinks I'm singing on War on the East Coast. They think Nico is singing Another Drug Deal of the Heart when it's actually Catherine, or they think Nico's on Dance All Domine, but that's Catherine. And there's all this weird confusion there. And I feel like there's nothing I can do about that. Like,
except play live. And then we can say, oh
yeah,
Catherine is singing that one. So I guess the next question I have is when are we going to have the new Pornographers in Los Angeles? Because that would solve all these questions and more.
Yeah, we're playing the Wiltern. When is that? October sometime?
Okay.
I think maybe, let's say October 10th. Let's say October 10th-ish. I don't know, somewhere around there. Maybe before then. Well, it's going to be cool. It's going to be the whole lineup of people. It's going to be like eight of us. Unless somebody goes crazy.
Well,
unless,
you know, we've got 7 weeks, you know, there's always that possibility.
Unless somebody goes crazy, and I think we're good. I think we're all going to be showing up and kicking it at the Wiltern. It's going to be cool. Like I said, I'm very into playing all these songs. And it's fun to make set lists with this album and then like mix in like sort of the greatest hits of like five other albums. Like it makes it so like I look at our set list where it's an hour and 20 minutes long and I think, wow, this is all killer, no filler.
Well, and you are at that point where those start to become real choices.
Where I feel like we're at the point where we might leave a lot of people disappointed because like, I'm sorry, we can't play all the deep cuts all the time, because if we're looking at what we have to play from Electric Version, you know, we got to be playing Testament and Lots of Change. We can't be playing Loose Translation. So you go through the... It's hard to pick songs from Twin Cinema. That's sort of one of my favorite records we've ever done. So
you mean hard in the sense of which ones to include and
yeah,
which ones to exclude?
Because I feel like whenever I'm making a set list, I'm always leaning towards like Twin Cinema heavy, because it's just got like... It's got about five of my favorite songs we ever did on it.
And it was a very popular record,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that's true.
So when you think from the expectations of the audience, that would make sense.
But it's fun to have songs that you can put in and take out of the set. Like the last few shows, we haven't been playing Sing Me Spanish Techno, and we used to play it all the time. And I traded out Sing Me Spanish Techno for Twin Cinema, because we hadn't played the song Twin Cinema in a while, and that was fun to do. And it's nice to know that if we ever need like a double encore, if a show's ever if a show's ever really going amazing and it's like, oh, we should do an extra song, it's nice to know, well, we've got Sing Me Spanish Techno.
It's in our pocket.
Yeah, it's nice to know it's nice to know that we've got so many albums that we're not running out of songs.
If you were a baseball pitcher, you're like, or a baseball player, you're like a five-tool band.
A
five-tool band. That's apparently what they call a baseball player who can pitch, catch, run. I don't know the other two. It's just a term I've heard used. And
not a band that has five people who are tools in it.
Yeah, well, that... No, it's not that depiction. So,
because we only have four duels in the band.
Well, still a high percentage. The album is Brill Bruisers. It, you know, I don't want to sound like I'm pandering, but it's an exciting record. You know, it really is a joyous record. It's one that I drive around and listen to. You know, and being inundated with music the way it is, to be able to take an album and really want to listen to an album, mm-hmm. To an earlier point, this is for me now. You know, I'm now letting the audience know that I personally love this album and that I hope that they love it too. It's in stores. That is one thing that I will express to our listeners.
Yeah.
It is in stores. Carl's mentioned the fact that he has a child, really. For his child, think about it this week and you're shopping.
Yeah, he's 2.5 years old. And
oh, what a beautiful young little boy. It's a boy, right?
Yes.
A beautiful young boy sitting there as you go through your shopping errands. Think of Carl's son.
Exactly. Don't you want him to thrive?
His future depends on you. Well,
yeah, isn't that that's frightening?
Well, but you know what? Yeah.
The idea that my future might depend on like random people listening.
Let's do our best we can here at 88.5 KCS and to help that cause. And we want to thank you for coming by and having fun with us and at the same time really loving what you do and putting the care and craft you put into making this record.
Awesome. Thank you.
So it's Carl Newman, and it is. The album is Brill Bruisers from the New Pornographers, in store now, and you're hearing it on 88.5 KCSN.